Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's so great to have all of you here today. It's so great to see all of you. So if you are a member with us, make sure you look at the bulletin and read the bulletin. To get the list, the prayer list, and things like that, and different events that are going on. If you are a visitor, we welcome you here this morning. But this morning's service is going to look just a little bit different. If you've been with us over the past few months, in the past couple of years or so, you know that Watermill is, it's been really exciting to be here. As we've been thinking about how to better embody the kingdom of God that we're called to live out and live in, we've developed a vision statement that we're going to be welcoming, serving, and growing in Christ. In the city in which we're planted, in the community in which we're planted. And this morning, as we've been praying about and thinking about establishing deacons and working and looking at the needs and areas of our congregation, we're starting to see the first fruits of that we're this morning establishing deacons. And so we're going to have time to think about that and to pray over those men and the families and the work that they're going to be helping us do at Watermill. So as we do that, I'm going to read a scripture for us and then we'll start our service. So if you all will please be standing for the scripture reading and the song that follows. This will be from Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Watermill, with the overseers and deacons. And down to chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This has been a long time coming, and it's exciting for us to be here together this morning to be a part of this. As I was thinking about just a few thoughts that I wanted to share with us this morning, I began to think about a part of my nature that fits a little bit with what I wanted to talk about, and that is my love of putting things together, of making things, of building things. Does anybody else in here enjoy that sort of thing, whether it's baking or cooking or creating a piece of art or planting something in the garden or making something with your hands? Does anybody enjoy that sort of thing? Yeah. Now, one of the things that is interesting about people who love to do those sorts of things is there's different types of people. Some people, who I consider to be somewhat crazy, are the let's just see what happens people. Right? Let's just fly by the seat of our pants. I have a general idea of what I would like the outcome to be, but I have no real clue how it's going to get there. And it's only going to be by the grace of God that it turns out to be anything like I want it to be, right? Is anybody like that? You just start a project, you make about 10,000 trips to Lowe's over the course of it, or Hobby Lobby, or wherever else, until finally you get it, or maybe it ends up just taking up a corner of your garage, not actually having been finished. Anybody? See someone like, what's this guy right here out there? Or there's another group that like to have a pattern. You like to work off something. Maybe you're making a quilt or you're building something. You want to draw a blueprint or a pattern to help help you. And so maybe you do a little research, you spend a little time putting something like that together. Maybe you make a list to go out and work on that. And then you go and you try to accomplish your task. Or it might be that you're like me and my oldest brother, who will spend weeks or months just staring at a blank piece of paper, thinking it all through, drawing it out on napkins, drawing it out by hand, putting it on a computer and designing it all that way, making cut lists and taking an inordinate amount of time to really make sure we've got everything exactly where it needs to be before we start a project, which I don't do as much that way because it takes me a lot longer. Whatever category you fall into, you might understand, or hopefully you'll understand, the importance of a blueprint or a pattern. I think about Liam loves Lego sets, and it's not Lego sets like they were when I was growing up, where you just had a whole bunch that looked a lot like, you know, everything else, and you just made whatever you wanted. Nowadays, when you're done, after what feels like an inordinate amount of time, you have a car or you have something, but there is this like 90-page book that you go through, and he will sit there for hours just going through step by step, making sure he has it right. Because sometimes you'll get to a stage that's on page like 900 and something won't fit right because something back on page 2 got a little bit out. And so you got to go back and sort through it. This morning I want us to think about this idea of service a little bit the same way. We have a pattern. We have a blueprint for us to follow to be the best servants that we can be. Josh read from Philippians earlier for us. What's interesting about Philippians is Paul isn't writing a church to address some big, huge, major issue like Corinth, like they had in Corinth or other places like Galatia. But instead, what he writes is to a group of Christians who are doing pretty well. In fact, he actually says, "My prayer is that your love might abound more and more." So what is it that he has to say to them to ensure that that will happen, that their love will abound more and more, that their service will be more effective to the world around them? Well, he lays out for us a pattern of the kind of person that we are to be. And it just so happens that that pattern is Jesus. I want to just mention four things very briefly that Jesus said, or that Paul says, is a pattern, I think, for all of us to follow for service. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, affection, or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind." Now what he means is that this isn't about conformity. It isn't that we all have to dress the same or look exactly the same or be involved in the same sorts of things. What he's saying is that service has to do with a unity of purpose. He says, have the same love for God, the same love for people that Jesus had. That is our purpose. That is what we have tried to capture with our vision statement of how we want to go about doing that. Service is that while each of us may have different jobs, different interests, different pursuits, we're all doing it with one goal in mind. The betterment of God's kingdom, the growing, the helping of others, the serving of others. Service is also selfless. In verse 3, he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more significant than yourself. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus." To be a servant is to be selfless. To not pursue something for your own agenda or for your own glory, but simply because it needs to be done. Simply because someone else needs you to do it. Look at others as being more important than you. Their interest is being more important than your own. A servant is selfless. Third, service is humble. To be selfless, to do something in a purely selfless way, you must first become less so that God may become more. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself, and he took the form of a servant, and he was born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself." Humility must be a part of our service. Humble servants do not seek to gain glory or do things for themselves, but only for others, only for God. And finally, servants and service must be obedient. Jesus, it said, Paul says, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, sometimes we are asked to do things that we don't want to do. We are asked to go places we don't want to go. We're asked to serve in ways that we would rather not because it makes us uncomfortable, or we don't like the idea of it, or we don't like what it asks of us. Service is being obedient to God and His will no matter what. So service has a unity of purpose. It is selfless, it is humble, and it is obedient. Now you may be wondering why this says celebration of service rather than a blueprint of service. And that's because, in my mind, we are celebrating the fact that the men we are calling into service have these qualities. And that is something to celebrate. We have chosen men who are humble and selfless, who are obedient, and who have a single purpose in mind. And that is something to celebrate. This is also a celebration of service because we see that this is a definition of the people here at Watermill. As somewhat of a still new member here and maybe a little bit of an outsider, still trying, you know, working my way in, that's something that I have noticed about this congregation. You are a people who are willing to serve in whatever way is asked of you. And so this morning, that is why we say this is a celebration of service. These are characteristics that the elders and the ministers see, not only in the men that are being called this morning, but in all of you. And for that, we are grateful. At this time, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to ask our deacons to come back down to the front. And as a visual representation of what we're doing, they are going to be serving at the Lord's table at this time.
Good morning to all of you. The next words in Philippians 2, past what Josh and Justin have shared with us already, are, "So then, my beloved." That seems the proper hinge to me to what we have been thinking about and where we turn now on this first day of the week. "So then, my beloved." I'd like to say to my beloved brothers who have today consented to become my co-workers as one of the members of this congregation in a little bit different way and in a more responsible way, I thank the Lord for each one of you. We're thankful for your families. We thank you for your care and concern for our congregational life, and for your willingness to fill a hole in our work together as a congregation. We all join together in praying with regard to our way forward, that we can be welcoming, serving, and growing in Jesus. What exactly does Paul think that means in Philippians 2? In this chapter, Justin's just mentioned to us that Jesus became a servant by becoming obedient even to the point of death. And because he did, God highly exalted him. So what happens next is he says, "So then, my beloved, you become obedient within life, and God will highly exalt you also." If you notice, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation doesn't mean earn it, because the whole passage right before it has just talked to us about what Christ has done for us. And it's reminded us that our response to that has been to get a head start on confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, because eventually everybody's going to. Becoming a Christian is just getting a head start on confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's how we became Christians. That's our start in obeying the gospel and being identified with Christ by joining Him in baptism and His death and His burial and His resurrection, His new life. To work out our salvation is not just an individual matter, it's a corporate matter. This is a plural activity where we live out together our salvation. We work out its meaning in our families, at school this week, in our workplace, within the community, and how we deal with civil authorities, and our daily responsibilities, and how we bear our burdens, and how we deal with our other blessings and responsibilities in life. To work it out with the mind of Christ and obeying the Father with the same manner, not the same means. He died once for us, but in the same manner, that is, of loving and willing obedience to the Father. What happens when that occurs? What happens when we become obedient to the Father within life and allow Him to then exalt us? This passage mentions three things. One is that God works in His people. It's God who's at work in you and I, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. When we go about living like Jesus in everyday life, thus working out our salvation with fear and trembling, God works in us. His will gets done. His desires get brought to pass. His glory gets made to appear in real life. When we've called our brothers to serve today, we do not mean you're now on your own and we're dependent on your power and talent and ability. God is at work within you. And when we commit ourselves to working with you, we don't mean that by your standing here today, you have somehow received a whole new congregation full of people who are way more talented, better people than we were when we got here. No, it just means that we're committing ourselves to believe that God is at work and that will be at work in us too, and we won't be just depending on ourselves. Secondly, when we work out our salvation in everyday life, wherever we go, by obeying the Father in that place too, then God has a family. He has children in this world. Do all things without complaining or argument. It's not talking about just our dealings with each other. It's talking about how we operate in daily life so that we'll prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. God's children are people who show His character, His nature, His ways in the real circumstances of everyday life. It's in trying to act like Jesus wherever we go and whatever we do that the difference between God's children and this perverse generation becomes apparent, not simply because God's children want to be different from everybody else, but because they want to be like Him. That's what we want. And the third thing that happens, beyond God working in us and God having a children, a family in the world, is that God becomes known. This text goes ahead to say, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding firmly the word of life. Those two phrases have been a challenge to translate. It could be saying, among whom you shine like stars in the universe. the difference between God's children, God's family, and people that in whom He's at work, and the way things would be otherwise is so beautifully apparent that God's children will shine like stars in the universe if they're obeying Him in the context of everyday life. And then holding firmly the word of life has been translated holding on to it or holding forth the word of life like a torch so everyone can see the way to live life. That's what we're invited to. So then, my beloved, let's allow God to be at work within us. Let's be His children. And let's let His light show in the world around us wherever we go. That's the invitation that begins with confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you believe that the one who obeyed even to the death of the cross has been given the name above every name? If you believe that, say so, and then act on that conviction by allowing God to turn you into one of His children. If we can help you, let us know that while we stand and sing together.